Turn your Bibles, will, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we got started in this book last time. I'm lagging behind the clip and the rate that I want to maintain in going through the book of Proverbs. And so I'll be working on getting that. We don't want to spend an eternity here, but we do want to glean from the book things that are really, really good, a blessing to us. Don't discount this book. I believe this book gives us the mind of God. It gives us the thinking of the Lord. These pithy maxims that we can from the Lord that we can put in our hearts and carry in ourselves. I tell you what, feeding on the book of Proverbs, book of Ecclesiastes, feeding on these books, there's just something different about them. They will affect our way of thinking. And when, as we run on to things and encounter things in life, they will help us to, in our thinking, in our the way that we live, in our conversation, right? What we think and what we do and what we say, they'll help us indeed. Because this is, and also the Sermon on the Mount, it's that way. It stands out that way to give us what God thinks and what God believes. The Scriptures all it does that, but in these books and in the Sermon on the Mount, it just cuts to the chase. Okay, it's kind of like the short form instruction. Okay, and it'll help us, and it's good to have in us. Here in chapter 4, verse number 1, again, he starts off, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father." It seems like he's repeating himself, but we need this repetition. The instruction, this reproof, this warning, this chastisement, if you will, hear it. Don't ball up to it. "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine," good teaching, good instruction. We need doctrine. We don't, if we claim no doctrine, then what means we believe nothing. We need good doctrine. We need good doctrine and the Lord's doctrine in the church, His teaching. And then highlighted this verse here, number 3 of chapter 4. "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. I was in your shoes." And we need to let our children know that. I heard a child some time ago, many years ago, say saying to their parents, they said, "Well, you just want me to be like you." And the parent answered, said, "No, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be better than me." Okay? I want you to be better than me. I want you to go on. I want that. I want a parent wants those arrows to shoot out there farther and better than they. May the Lord help my children that they not be like me. I want them to be like Christ. Do you want your children to be like Christ? Okay. Well, teach them the things of Christ. Okay? And we need to do that in every way. And we have many ways that we fall short, but we need to teach them the way of Christ. And listen, it's the way that it works. Most of what we teach is not taught, but caught. Here, they mostly do what we do, not what we say. We need to say what's right, but they mostly do what we do. May God help us. May God help me. So he says, Solomon tells us, "Son, I was in your shoes at one time. I was my father's son. I was the only beloved in the sight of my mother. My folks love me. I love you." And so we need to be open with our children and share with them our faults, share with them our failures, never glorifying our sin, but warning them, using that to be a warning to them that it wasn't right when we did it, and that we never need to glorify our sin at all, but at appropriate times and appropriate settings or situations, at appropriate age, with the different things that they're facing, don't ever put yourself up as being the model or the example. We need to be an example, a good example. But never let us put ourselves up as the model or example. It's always Christ. It's always the Lord and what He says. I know what it's like to be young. I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like to fail. Here are my errors and my sins. Don't follow after these, but rather follow after the Lord. I know the heartache that the direction that you're going will bring. And don't go there. Don't do it. Don't go that way. Verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. What kind of words do we give our children to retain? So, well, I don't have any children. I don't have any children yet. Well, there's other children that are here at this church and that you have exposure to, and there's somebody that hangs on to your words. Grandchildren, others in your family that you have to do with. What kind of example are we to them? Well, how is it? He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. I needed the same, the parent speaking to the child when I was your age, the same things that you need now. Same things that you need now. And you've heard me say it before, you know, we, and I say this tongue in cheek, okay, but parents, we need to sometimes go ahead and be the hypocrite. Okay, you hear that? Some people say, here's the greatest example or an example that I've heard several times in my life. How can I chide my child for smoking dope when I did it? That is lunacy. And if a person did do such things, we need to condemn it as God condemns it and then instruct our children to do what's right and not pursue after evil. That's just one example. You can put anything else in there. But that's craziness. How can I chide my child for being promiscuous when I was myself, a parent might say. That's lunacy. That's stark raving madness. And don't ever go there. That's craziness. And it's sure not honoring to the Lord. And so we need to tell our children what's right according to the Word of God. And go ahead and in that say, I was guilty of a thing, but listen, it brought grief and it brought heartache, and I can't shuck it. I can't get rid of it. The Lord's forgiven me. But don't you go after that way. Don't you go after that route. It'll bring nothing but sin and guilt and shame and so on. And that's what I mean by that. Verse number 5, he says, of wisdom and understanding again. He says it again. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't back up. Don't go away from them. We've heard about this word wisdom in chapters 1 and 2 and 3. It's referred to here again. To be skillful, to be wisely, to have wisdom to be able to use and do things, to know how to take knowledge and apply it, and to know the knowledge of God and apply it, and to be skillful in that. I mean, that's what he says. There is wisdom in that. And there are those that speak and say, well, Brother Jim, you know, we're sinners saved by grace, and we have no ability or no goodness in and of ourselves. Yes, that's true. But we've got a life to live, and we've got instruction from the Lord to live it. Are we just going to sit around like a bump on a log and a knucklehead and apply ourselves to the things that are carnal and working in the world and not take the Word of God and that which is spiritual and apply it to those things? There's some people that live, I believe, that way, that live that way. I've seen them in my life, and we're around them. They have this line of demarcation that's there, this line that there's that which is secular, and it's just like whatever, but then there's that which is spiritual, and we be very pious, and we do the right thing and say the right thing, which is very little. But then when it comes to living life, you don't see anything spiritual over there. Well, the Lord says that we're to be one person, as I said, and live this spiritual life. If we walk physically, okay, if we live spiritually, rather, in Ephesians, right, and or Galatians, there when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's this life physical. That's by applying spiritual principles to our physical life. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Don't back up from it, neither decline from the words of my mouth. We have that when we're rebuked, when we're chastised. That our natural tendency is to back away from that. We don't need to. We need to receive it. If it's of the Lord and good, we need to receive it. Forsake her not, verse number 6, and she shall preserve thee. This word preserve is talking about protection, to be able to be aware. preserve, to reserve, to make sure. Okay? Wisdom will and understanding will preserve us. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And then that word keep is also talking about protection and concealment and being hidden. I find these synonyms interesting. To be a monument, okay? To be steadfast. Verse number 7, wisdom is the principal thing. It's number 1. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Apply yourself to it. Don't be nonchalant about it. Don't be lackadaisical about it. But seek the wisdom and understanding of the Lord. Exalt her, verse 8, and she shall promote thee. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to be promoted? Okay? But there's the everlasting and the good way is the Lord's way, with His knowledge, His wisdom, His understanding. We've seen about the Scripture bearing out that the Lord will promote His people as He sees fit. Exalt her in wisdom and understanding. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. A brother, Doug, in Sunday school class this last Sunday dealt with Joseph. Boy, there's an example in there. He was faithful. Jacob, he didn't behave himself well with his sons. I think the Scripture bears that out. But that wasn't Joseph's fault. But Joseph was faithful to his daddy. And you know how we know he was faithful to his daddy? Because he was faithful in the prison. He was faithful at Potiphar's house. To the T, wasn't he? He was faithful to the T. And then he was faithful in the prison house, wasn't he? And then you know what? Being faithful in the prison house, it showed and manifested the character, the godly character that our brother had. And so then when he became second in Egypt, he behaved himself well then too, didn't he? Not, you know, there's not one word of rebuke from God in the Scripture that I can find against Joseph. Not one word. Not one word. And so, let us love the wisdom of the Lord. Let us gain it. Let us seek it. We will be promoted to the extent that the Lord wants us promoted. We will be honored to the extent that the Lord wants us. And you know what? That's the place that God's made for us. And it's the best place we can be. It's a place of blessing. We did that study about the headship of Christ and our relationships. That place where the Lord wants us, we need to embrace her. And the Lord will take care of these things. Verse number 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You know, just listen to the Lord and believe Him. Take it and apply it. And don't yield to the way of men. Don't yield to the depravity of man and the way of Satan and the way, but yield to the Lord, His Word. It's the reason it's so important for us to read the Word of God for ourselves, to consume it, to eat it up. And in doing so, we eat up the Lord Jesus Christ. There in John chapter 6, the Lord says, you've got, if you're going to be a partaker with me, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, we do so by taking in His Word. That's how we do so, learning of Him. Here is the preacher, Solomon, is he repeating himself? Well, I want to remind you of this. In Isaiah 28, verse number 9, this chapter is dealing with a rebuke of Israel, but there's a concept here that we just want to pull out in three verses. Isaiah 28, 9, and 10, 9, 10 and 11. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You've got to grow up. We've got to grow up. Feeding on milk, feeding on one or two, three doctrines, we're going to founder. We need to grow up and get into the whole counsel of the Lord, the whole counsel of the Word of God. Be always pursuing it. We're challenged in this old flesh that we learn a little thing and we learn some more, and then we learn some more, and then what I learned at the beginning I forget. And then maybe I struggle to learn. And so we always need to be taking it in, taking it in, taking it in, learning the Word of God for you. Don't rely on the pastor. Don't rely on your spouse. And men, we need to be leaders in our home, the spiritual leaders of the Word of God, with the Word of God. We do. The only way we can do so is to have the Word of God in us. We need it, and we've got to get off that milk and move on. And he says here in Isaiah 28, verse number 9, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." There's in that, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, you and I are not going to learn the next thing until we get a handle on what we got presently in front of us. That's just the way that it works. We'll never understand what's next and the blessings that lie ahead with that unless we get a handle and obey and believe what is right in front of us and seek the Lord's face for what is next. And you know what? He'll bless with it. Verse 10, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept." It repeats it. "And line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." And so that's the reason the preacher, as Solomon, is repeating himself even in these Proverbs. The Scripture goes on to say there in Isaiah 28, verse 11, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." And that's relative to that condemnation of Israel there in the day of Isaiah, Israel and Judah. The Lord uses the blessed simplicity of His Word to instruct us into heavenly things. You know, the world discounts this book. A lot of the religious world discounts this book. You know how we know that? I was talking to a member of the church just before services, because there are those that claim to know the way of life that bring in other writings. You bring in another writing over top of this book, you discount the Word of God. And that's wicked. It's diabolical. That will only lead to death. So yes, he is repeating himself, but we need that indeed. Verse number 10, "Do you desire long life?" Do we desire long life? "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." And then an emphasis here, "and the years of thy life shall be many." You want a long life? You can find exceptions to every rule. I think Stephen, no doubt, was an obedient son. I believe that that was the case, but he gave his life at a young age. But in general, the principle of God in His Word that He teaches us is that obey your parents. Hear the Word of the Lord. Hear the Word of a godly father and mother. "And in the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee," verse number 11, "in the way of wisdom." We see it there again, that word wisdom. "I have led thee in right paths. I've shown you the truth." Verse number 12, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened." Brother Jim, I thought we wanted a straight way. We wanted a straight and narrow way. Well, this is talking about being in distress. It's talking about being vexed. Remember how Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked? Well, listen to the wisdom of the Lord and apply the wisdom of the Lord. We won't have a path. We won't have steps that will be vexed. We'll listen to this wisdom and take this wisdom to us and hold it fast. It says in verse number 13, "Take fast hold of instruction." And again, that was mentioned in the first verse and in other chapters that we've taken a look at. Instruction, chastisement, reproof, correction, what it says there in what Hebrews chapter 13 and where it was taken from in the Scriptures. We've looked at that recently. Don't despise rebuke of the Lord. Don't despise it. He rebukes us because He loves us. And don't ball up at it. May the Lord help us in that. Verse number 14, and he speaks here of wicked and evil men. "Enter not into the path of the wicked." They've got a path that they walk. Don't even step into that way. Don't go there. Don't experiment around with it. Don't even look at it. Don't go down that trodden road of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil, of evil men. Don't go there. Don't go in that caravan in the wicked. The Scripture says that it's the Scripture gives us instruction that don't follow a multitude to wickedness. Don't do it. Just because it's popular and just because there's many that are going that way. You know what? If something's going on in the world and it's very, very popular, you can pretty much mark it down that God hates it. Huh? I mean, it's just, think about it. Get honest with the Lord about it. If the world chases after it and the world's clamoring after it, it more than likely is condemned by the Lord. We need to watch out. We need to consider that. Don't think that we can flirt with the path of the wicked and the way of evil men and it not affect us. And that word path is, it can also be used as a caravan, okay? That's a synonym there, or a usage of the Hebrew word. Don't go with that caravan of the wicked. Because just because there's a bunch of people going the way of wickedness and the way of sin and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, does that make hell a good place to go? No. No. Always listen to the Lord. Avoid it, verse 15. Pass not by it. Don't even go near where you can look over there at it. Turn from it. I mean, put it behind you and pass away. And here's a verse that is there, and this is descriptive of folks and that we've all run into. Maybe it was descriptive of us before the Lord saved us. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. The word here, they have done mischief. It's talking about to spoil, to do harm, to do mischief. Here we have the description of the vengeful. The vengeful. Listen to what it says about them. It says, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. To see when it is revealed to us to see the spinning and the working of the wicked and those that want to take and maybe even drag down the work of the Lord or drag down the Lord's people, and some of that's revealed to us. Well, many times sit and work was put into that to get that thing accomplished because they spent a lot of time thinking it up. Spend a lot of time figuring out the angles. And you know what? If there'd have been that much time and that much work spent towards a godly thing, some fruit could have been yielded. Amen? But instead, until they set their vengeful heart on someone or something, and they want to, they'll not be happy. They'll not be contented until they bring it to the ground. May the Lord help in that. May the Lord help us we not go that way. He says, don't pass by this way. And this is descriptive of what's mentioned here in verses 14, 15, and 16. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. One that they marked off their list. Can you comprehend that? I know we really don't want to, but you comprehend that their sleep, they only lay down in their bed with a smile on when they've caused somebody to fall. That's terrible, isn't it? Terrible. There's a condemnation. There's a condemnation in the book of Revelation, and we understand it to be towards Catholicism, Universalism, the religion of man, if you will, that mystery Babylon in her trade has also traded the souls of men. It's traded the souls of men. And then it's a condemning passage. And see, you know, all that we as the children of God are to seek, and even mankind, the command of the Lord, is that we're to be a blessing to our neighbor. Not a hindrance. Not a terror downer. As the children of God, we're to be edifiers, to be of edifying to our neighbor, aren't we? Not dragging them down. May the Lord help us, as the Scripture says too, that we would be children in regards to wickedness and malice and that we be sober and mature in regards to righteousness and goodness. Amen. May the Lord help us in that, to be hospitable to all. They, this word fall in this verse, it's the same same word as in the verse number 19, coming, that they're not happy unless they cause some to fall, to falter, to stumble, to fail, to be grieved, to decay in that. You know, but the Scripture does bear out, we'll run across it as in our study, that, you know, the righteous man will fall seven times and the Lord will lift him up. The wicked will go after the righteous man, that which is the Lord's, and try and try and try and try and try. And it may look like, no, didn't get him. May look like God, no, didn't get him that time. Because the power of the Lord is with His people. We need to look to the Lord in these things. You know, there's degrees in all things. But I've found folks in my saved life that have made it a point to compromise myself and my stand in obedience to the Lord. They've come up with situations to press me into a compromise, although very subtle. And it makes me wonder about their true intent. But beware. I don't want to be one that is, I don't want to be suspicious. But I've seen it in my life. You say, I'm taking a stand for the sake of the Lord in this, and then here comes that pressure. Here comes that pressure. Just to bend. Either they want to justify themselves or they want to put what the stand is to the test. And those that are looking to try the people of God, you know, it could be testing from the Lord. It could be the wiles of the devil working our way. It could be either one. May the Lord help us that we, having done all, to stand. Amen. And don't be convicted because of mama. And don't be convicted because of daddy. But be convicted because of the Lord. Be convicted because of the Lord. And may the Lord help us that we would stand. Verse 17, it goes on here of the wicked and evil men. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. In verse number 18, but the path of the just is a shining light and shineth more and more into the perfect day. Oh, may the Lord help us as His children that we would shine brighter. Amen. Let our little light shine and not put it under a bushel, but to shine. Shine. Because Jesus lives within. To shine, shine, shine. To even bless our enemies and do good to them that despitefully use us. And to love the sinner and tell him about Christ and seek the restoration of the Lord's people unto Him, and to seek and pursue peace. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 5? Blessed are the peacemakers. Not the strife generators, but the peacemakers. And we do have to stand. The way of the wicked is darkness, verse number 19. They know not at what they stumble. Same as in verse number 16. I find that interesting. In verse 16, it's speaking about they want someone to fall. But you know what? Ultimately, the Lord knows. Ultimately, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. They will fall themselves. They will fall themselves. They'll be taken by their own iniquities. They'll be taken. There may rise up one that's greater and better at pursuing vengeance than they were. We don't need to go that way. Avoid that way. Don't look that way. Who are the wicked? Well, anybody that does not obey the Lord. We need to, this is a sobering thing. Those that do not obey the Lord in the context here are the wicked. We teach our children. We desire good things for them. But you know, it is so that the unsaved are the wicked. I was wicked once. And in my flesh, I'm still wicked. But because of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got a new man that doesn't sin. And when this old man sins, I've got a Savior. The Father, for His sake, will forgive me and even cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right? Isn't that what the Scripture says? For those that are without Christ, so the Scripture says that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Right? Do it with an evil heart. Don't do it unto the honor and glory of the Lord. Do it for self. And self alone. We got to watch out. for who the wicked is. Yes, the wicked can be our family or our friends, our acquaintances, our neighbors, those we work with. And we need to desire their salvation and pursue their salvation as the Lord saved us. But the way of the wicked is darkness. And they don't know what they're stumbling in. They just don't know. And so there is a sense that even this wicked man that would pursue these things, as it says in verse number 16, 17, and 18, really they're to be pitied. More so than be angry at. Because that way is going to consume them. It will turn on them eventually. And saved by the grace of God, it would have turned on us, wouldn't it? Even being, for the one that might be morally, pursue a moral way, but without Christ as Savior, their own conceits, the deceptiveness of the heart, saying, well, I'm good enough, or I'm better than another, would even go ahead and take them to hell in that. Sobering things, aren't they? Warnings from a father in verse number 20. Son, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Prick up those ears and listen. Attend to my words. Incline. We've seen it before in chapter 2. It was listen to me. And it was mentioned in a positive way and to bend toward. And then in a negative way in chapter 2 to stay away from the advice and the word of the wicked. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Verse number 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Down there inside. With you all the time. Down there in that innermost you. Keep them close. For they are life unto those that find them. And health to all their flesh. That word flesh is talking about the body and the skin. You know, following the good, right word of the Lord, the wisdom, the understanding, the instruction, the knowledge of the Lord, it will and can make physical life just better. I don't think any of us had to deal with Sunday morning with the adverse effects of being hung over from Saturday night, did we? And that's sure better on your skin, isn't it? It is. There's a benefit in obeying the Lord and believing the Lord. Well, the ravages of drugs or the ravages of those things that come from promiscuity, the Lord, obeying the Lord, there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing in it. And peace and no grief. He goes on here, in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here is a form of that word that we see in verse number 21, that innermost us, our soul, if you will, the seat of our emotions, who we are. You know, you've got a name given to you by your parents, unless you changed it, and that's who you are. And there's only one you. And I believe that in all of time. I mean, you're you. And you have never been and you never will be. You're right here, right now. And he says, take that to you. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The issues, that which exits, that which comes out of us, that which goes forth, the outgoings come from the heart. Remember what the Lord said? Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse number 14, we'll pick it up and see what the Lord has said here. Mark chapter 7, verse number 14. And when he had called all the people, Jesus, unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. That's what Jesus said. Nothing that goes in can defile us. Nothing that goes in can defile us, right? Isn't that what it says? That's what he said. This is a quote. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Get a hold of it. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? He's kind of behaving surprised, didn't he? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into man, that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, proceed adulteries, proceed fornications, proceed murders. Out of the heart proceed thefts. Out of the heart proceeds covetousness and wickedness. Out of the heart proceeds deceit and lasciviousness. Out of the heart proceeds an evil eye. Out of the heart proceeds blasphemy and pride. Out of the heart proceeds foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. In the factory of sin, as one brother said it, that's where our problem is. And then nothing that we eat or that we drink, it doesn't defile us. But if what we eat or what we drink cause us to lose touch, or what we would smoke or what we would inject into our veins or take up our nose or whatever causes us to lose our mental faculty, then we can be very much defiled, can't we? That's the reason there's the condemnation on drunkenness in the Scripture. The condemnation is there because, we're going to see it in Proverbs, that with drunkenness, losing control of oneself, you say things that you never would say otherwise, and do things that you never would do otherwise. And in those things, we are defiled. We sin against God. We sin against the Lord. So we've got to keep our heart. And we need to stay sober. Sober not only from the standpoint of avoiding drunkenness, but we also need to be sober about the big picture of God, right? And the Word of God that He tells us in His Word. Put away, back in Proverbs 4 and verse number 24, Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perversity, as we've seen before, and perverse lips put far from thee. The Lord hates perverseness. Watch your language. Watch your use of the name of God. What may the Lord help us that we would? The Lord hates the perverseness of the tongue. Our tongue has been made that we might glorify and honor God. Not cursing, not take His name in vain, not be blasphemous, but to praise Him. And to yield good, sweet water, amen. To yield good, tasty fruit. That's what we're to do. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes, verse 25, look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep on looking at that narrow path. Keep on looking at the end of that narrow way. You know who's at the end of that way? It's Jesus. He's the one that made the way, right? John chapter 3, no man's made a way to heaven, but the one that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The Lord said there to Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus Christ made the way. And because of Him, we're on that way. And He's at the end of that way. And And that end of that path leads to eternity with Him. Keep your eyes on the way. Keep our eyes on the way. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be, and let all thy ways be established. Think about what you're doing. We've got so much entertainment these days. Music, radio, and again, none of those things or the technology in and of itself is wicked. You know, we need to think about what we do. Think about what we say. Think about where we go. Think about what we wear. Think about how we behave. And scrutinize that there with the Lord sitting beside us or within. I need to do it. We all need to do it. Ponder. But with all that distraction, all the entertainment that we have available to us today, and all the media and the technology and everything, as I mentioned before, there's no time just to be quiet. And I think that that's by design. The technology is not wicked. But there's just no time to be quiet. We've got generations now that cannot stand silence. Because why? Because the conscience speaks. And guilt is able to be heard. And may the Lord help us that we hear the still small voice of the Lord and the truth. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Established on Jesus and His Word. Amen. Then we will be on the rock. Established on the wisdom of the Word of God and not ourselves. If we are established on Jesus and His Word, we'll be on the rock. If we're established on the wisdom of the world and ourselves, then we'll be on the slippery, muddy slope of sin and backsliding, won't we? If we're not on the rock, we're going to be on that slippery slope of sin and backsliding. May God help us to see that and be encouraged to good things. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In John chapter 14, verse 6, and it alluded to it already, Jesus the Lord said, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13, the Scripture says, Enter ye in at the strait gate. He's getting close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew 7. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And as we referred to, you might even see a caravan going that way. That doesn't make it right. Many there be that go in thereat. But what's it going to say? The goodness of the Lord. He tells us the truth. Even though when He tells us the truth about that which is negative, He tells us the truth about that which is positive. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. How about you? You've been blessed to be shown that narrow way because you're here with the Lord's people in one of the Lord's churches, you that are here and not saved. You've been told and it's been preached and expounded to you that there is a narrow way, and that way is Jesus Christ. You know, there's no doubt hundreds of thousands across the globe that have never heard that truth. But you have. You have. And we point you to Him. Receive the Lord in simple childlike faith and repentance and faith. Repent of your sins. And believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. We point you to Him. For we that are saved, isn't it great to be saved off that broad way? That place is a mess, isn't it? On the broad way, you can lay down, wallow around, sit down. It doesn't matter. You can do anything you want to on the broad way. It doesn't matter. But the whole thing's going off into hell. It's great to be saved from that broad way. The narrow way is Jesus.